You're so sad. Wanker.
It's number 11. That's all I'm going to say. It's number 11. Number 11.
And now we're finished. Good night.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good
we came, we saw, we did 11. Just remember that. We got to 12 now, haven't we? Next, we've got to do another one there.
It's poster.
Yeah, we can't do it. I'm going to suffer for that at the end of time.
We can't do 11.
That's the way you said it, expected everyone to know it.
11's an ugly number, unless you use a mirror. 11's a very ugly number.
It's at least 12.
Bad. Looks like a pair of legs. Yeah. Legs 11.
It's not meat, it's not meat, is it?
Yeah, we hate crime.
Yeah. So we're going to have to record another one too. After this. Anyway.
We hate prime numbers on Lug Radio. No, we don't. Are we going to get the Daily Mirror to, like, post the addresses of prime numbers and people are going to go and beat them up?
Absolutely. No, they post the address of prime ministers and people are going to beat them up.
You post the address of a prime number. Some of them were that long. Get them coming in a bloody van. What if that had come to the door, not a door, say, prime number?
enough.
Say, oh, fuck, I'm on another prime number mailing list.
Enough prime number bad. So here it's Lug Radio. Here on Maths Radio.
Lug Radio number 11. We're here sitting in Wolverhampton. Got Sparks with his newly shorn head. We've got Ack besuited and bebooted. There's a Jono Bacon there behind a mic with some cans on his head. And there's me. Hello.
Hello, Matt. Ravel.
Hello, Matt.
Matthew Ravel.
Howdy,
I'm Mr. Ravel.
Matthew Ravel.
Is that Wetham Leather backwards?
What?
Wetham Leather backwards.
Wetham Leather?
Yeah. When I was about 7, I taught myself
like
to speak
a place
backwards.
In London.
I sing Jingle Bells backwards and everything.
Boy, he's cheap. Under the bridge from each team.
So we're going to be talking about
near an armful of levels.
In this episode, what are we going to talk about, chaps?
Well, there's a few things that we're going to discuss, I think. I mean, what we've got planned.
We're going to talk about my 100 big ones.
Desert Radio discs, or whatever they're called.
Desert Radio Islands.
You think someone's going to request desert.lug.org.uk?
No. Funnily enough, listening to Radio 4, the best way of getting your desert island discs on is dying.
Really?
Because if you die, they always play them again. So if anyone on the forum's thinking of dying recently...
if you could pass a message back from beyond the grave to forums.lugradio.
If anyone wants to die in the future tense... you can post your things onto the forum.
Everyone dies in the present tense, don't they, by definition?
No one is going to send us Desert Island discs now for the fear that they're going to be struck down by...
No, they should Yonkle all...
Tron.
They should all send Desert Island discs and 404s, just in case. So as part
people
of their memorial, we can use their Desert Island discs. They can be live on air. We'll get their parents to stick it on the stone. No, he didn't really want his beloved son. He wanted Firefox, his fucking age.
I'm so scared. What we've seen in the news lately, lads? iPod and BMWs, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Now
what concerns me is I looked at the photo, right?
Do you want to explain it in a little bit more detail?
Yes, I do.
Go on, then.
Basically, your iPod, if you've got one, can link up to your BMW now. Whoopie doo.
Yeah.
I mean, basically...
It's not iPod and Proton, is it? Or iPod and Skoda.
What concerns me is that I looked at the photo on the Apple website, and basically they had the glove compartment open and an iPod sitting on it with a cable sticking out the back of the iPod, out the back of the glove compartment going into the darkness.
Now you can use your iPod in a BMW now.
I just thought they'd have a slot, or at least one of those holders you get from petrol stations for a fiver. Yeah, ha-ha. You know, I mean... You'd have thought they'd have something a bit more, what's the word, sophisticated.
So be sophisticated. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. It's just a place to plug literally a cable in, isn't it? I mean, that's it.
That is it, and your steering wheel controls will...
Your 7 Series BMW at about 50 grand, and now it comes with a mini jack.
That's Firewire, actually.
Firewire.
Yeah. So here's a question for you lads. If any of you guys got anything like an iPod?
A BMW.
An iPod.
No.
I have nothing like a BMW. I don't have anything like an iPod either.
The first phone call of the night, and I'm sure it won't be the last.
Probably not. There you go.
So, it's like Pulp Fiction, this isn't it?
I don't have an iPod either.
Groundhog Day?
Yep.
Anyway, enough of that. German-American collaboration.
Just very, very... We had enough of that 50 years ago. On the subject of in-car entertainment, some guy from Sun set up an MP3 player in the back of his car using an Enterprise 450, which is a machine about the size, about 3 feet across and about 3 feet deep, about 4 feet long.
It's about the size of an American car.
It's always an average American boot.
He was very pleased with the fact that he had a RAID array running his MP3 player in the car.
And that's why he works at Sun.
That's why he works at Sun.
You said that's just Ron.
Moved around, aren't
you can imagine Ron doing that, can't you?
That's wrong. Right, Ron's got a very tall car. Right, okay, what else have we seen?
Very tall bloke.
Well, Gmail. A couple of us have got Gmail accounts now. Fiddle about with it. Doesn't look that evil to me, but I was looking at Google Watch earlier. Looked at it for the first time, and that
kind of like Crime Watch.
Well, he thinks so. He seriously seems to think that Google is evil.
Well, see if he gets
evil.
Murdered on his doorstep.
I think the Google Watch guy sees himself as like the one burning flame of truth in a world of darkness. You can get around that a little bit, he might have a bit of a point. He's a little bit of a tinfoil hat kind of.
Let's just all blink ourselves to that for now. Our friends over at the Linux Link Tech Show have set up a honeypot. So if you want to go and hack that, have a go.
Hello,
this is
Al.
Not.
Is it Al?
I thought the point of a honeypot was you didn't tell people it was a honeypot.
Well,
and you saw what came along and got stuck.
I think that's kind of what they're doing,
but we've just announced it to the world.
It's their own lug, but they've talked about it on their show. Please don't go and like purposely muck it up. I mean. I think
why it's a honeypot is what you're supposed to. Yeah.
No, I think they've got certain rules. I think that
you're not allowed to hack it.
it's a hacker game rather than a honeypot.
Well,
I didn't listen to last week's show.
It's like capture the flag or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It's like saying to me. Right, so that puddle over there, right, that's not got water in it. It's got, like, H2O with special mixture in it. I mean, you might as well just be saying stuff like that.
Sulfur dioxide in it.
And a dog turd.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Dioxide, yeah.
Anything else interesting, Matt?
Well, we've been talking about doing, like, a little live event. A small gathering in Wolverhampton.
A gathering.
Of like-minded beardos.
Weird beards.
Weirdos.
So, yeah, we're going to...
Can I come now? I haven't got much of a beard.
Yeah, you can still come.
I don't know, ask Jenny.
We will be asking... We were asking you to get in touch with us and let us know... Basically, if you think you've got something really cool that you can talk about, it doesn't necessarily have to be directly related to FOSS or
if
Linux.
If you've got an enterprise-class server in the boot of your car and you want to explain how the hard drives don't shake apart...
with slides.
Whereas laptop drives are, you know, half the size and designed to get knocked. Then bring it along.
Come and tell us about cool things.
I don't want to use the phrase call for papers, but basically that's what we're doing. So email us live... No, what should we have as the email address?
Let's do show.
All right.
Yeah.
Show at lugradio.org.
That's...
That didn't sound nearly as good as
last time. Because you started off too high.
show@lugradio.org.
That was bollocks. John Lennon is turning in his grave as we speak.
Okay. What do you do, barbershop?
Well, he was in the beat.
Imagine all the people.
I think something we should emphasise about the Lug Radio Gathering is that
you're not obliged to sing in harmony.
No, in fact, it's quite good if you can't sing in harmony, but have a go anyway. Why not?
It's got to be. I mean, the things that we want people to talk about are just things that we don't want someone to come and show us how to set up Samba. We want people to come and show cool and interesting things, and you know, to some people. You know, they're going to be cool and interesting. Some people, they're not, yeah? Admittedly, there's going to be some shit. But we just want people to come and basically say interesting things. And,
you've got to be confident talking in front of people. You've got to have something good to say.
As non-geeky as you like, as long as
it's interesting.
Percentage
it could be that
the
you've
audience.
Done
get away from your wife and turn it up to the max for a weekend.
Get away from your husband as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Know.
Whatever. Get away from your dog.
Bring your husband with you.
Bring the dog with you.
Can I bring the dog?
I think so we're going to have it in quite a cool venue, we hope, in Wolverhampton. We're in discussions at the moment.
We are.
And with, basically the only decent venue in Wolverhampton.
Lots of decent venues in Wolverhampton, but it depends if you want a lynching or not. Lynchings are some good venues. Rock gigs are probably some good venues as well, but having a piss up and a chat in front of people, not so many.
Yeah, but so yes. Basically, good ideas.
Send us in your ideas.
show@lugradio.org. Also in the news, we're considering merging our forums with the other two of the other radio shows that we do. Get on our forums, tell us what we do.
Those are the shit radio shows that you shouldn't listen to.
I'm an ack in the person, surely.
That's true, yeah.
Get
onto forums.lugradio.org and let us know what you think about that, because we think it could help to keep the forums lively.
To keep the flame alive.
Yeah, and we might even do a bit more collaboration with some of the other shows or even create some other shows of our own.
So let us know whether you think that's a good idea or a bad idea.
show@lugradio.org.
Or forums.lugradio.org if you want to post about it in public.
That's about it, except we've got a few other things to talk about.
And we'll get on with talking about them now.
Yeah, just listen to it.
On with the show.
Right, let's get cracking. First thing we're going to do is Desert Island Discs. And who have we got?
Who's coming to our box tonight?
I'm sorry.
Our mailbox.
Come on, let's go.
It's
come on, guys.
It's fucking hard work at times.
Potty mouth.
Right, okay, we've got Daniel Taylor.
Daniel Taylor.
And he sent Who over
is Daniel
his...
Daniel T, I assume, off the forums.
I'm guessing.
Hello, Daniel Taylor.
Hello, Daniel Taylor.
So, here he goes. He introduces the email with hello.
Hello. Cunning.
Yeah.
A wise choice of first words for the email.
Can't blame him for that.
Here's my Desert Island Discs. I never guessed that from his subject of Desert Island Discs. Okay, first choice is Ursi.
We've done that one.
We've talked about that, whatever.
We don't
Go on, Daniel, we're not listening. Bored.
Come on, you've got to try harder than this.
You've got to use software that no one else has ever used in history before.
Like that
air traffic control
program. Not the air traffic control thing, it's exactly what I was just going to say. Has anyone tried it yet?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Years ago. Absolutely not.
Right, okay. His second thing is LimeWire. Very nice. A very nice Nutella client. If I forget anything, I can download it. Also, I can download some songs to listen to and play them straight from LimeWire. I'm sure he uses that for public domain music.
Legitimate downloading.
What does it mean if he forgets anything? Is it like he goes to, goes to his nan's house and forgets her name, downloads it off LimeWire? What's he talking about if he forgets anything?
Presumably the best thing is, you're at work or whatever.
Yes.
And you think, shit, I was going to bring my sandwiches in, and I left them in the fridge at home, so you download them from LimeWire.
I don't think they leave sandwich ports open at work, do they?
You've got a lot of bandwidth
for
work.
It's sandwiches over HTTP. You go to work. It's a new protocol.
You go to work, you think, yeah, you couldn't do that with pigeons, could you? They'd eat the fuckers.
Couldn't use pigeons
to route those packets, could you? That'd be picked open and picked.
What's it called? Something Harrier Carrier.
IP by Avian Carrier.
Avian Carrier. Not Harrier Carrier.
Harrier Carrier.
Sounds like
Harrier Carrier, it would fucking kill the pigeons on my own.
You've got to run down the street going, Harrier Carrier.
In an orange robe and then sell people a pencil.
Here's a message for...
I was saying to him about bandwidth at work. You get to work, you think, oh shit, I've got to go to the cinema yesterday. So you fire up LimeWire. There was that latest blockbuster movie.
It was amazing. I forgot to watch Ghostbusters when it came out in 1984, so I downloaded it last week. Amazing.
Fantastic.
LimeWire, isn't it just about the only spyware-infested bit of software available for Linux?
Spyware free.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I apologise, LimeWire.
Things I know about LimeWire, it's written in Java.
And it's ugly.
As fucking sin.
It's slow.
And in my experience, it's not got that many people using it. So you can't find what you want.
The Nutella network's really screwy anyway.
My problem with it is that, it's cool that we've got our own, open source network and all that kind of thing. But there aren't enough people on it. You need to be using WinMX under Wine, and then you've got a shitload of people. You can download what you like. I imagine. I read it in a magazine.
I don't actually do any P2P, I gave it up about a year and a half ago. Seriously, I don't.
No, honestly, I don't either. I mean, I don't see that. I'm sick of waiting for stuff to download. And
I
there isn't anything I really want to download that's off there anyway. So
I'm almost the opposite. I imagine a friend of mine said that he was almost the opposite. because there were quite a few films on there, for instance, which you would quite enjoy watching, but they're not on television, and you don't want to go and pay 15 quid for a DVD. Like, would you pay 15 quid for Big Trouble in Little China? No, but it's quite an
But I don't think you'd find it for 15 quid. It'd be like $2.99 in the Virgin sale.
No, but you can't. No, but that's the point, you can't find it. If films like that were $2.99, then people would buy them a lot.
Then you'd just download it anyway.
No, I mean, this is why I think the iTunes Music Store is popular, despite the fact they haven't got any fucking songs in the Europe version. But that was their point. You know, you buy a song for 75 cents, and people will buy it because it's more effort.
I checked it out yesterday. Checked out the iTunes thing yesterday.
I use iTunes all the while. Just when I think, how does that song go? You can listen to the first 30 seconds. Brilliant.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird. So you could become like, I don't know. Yeah, you could just have a collection of the first 30 seconds of loads of songs. And
could we sell all the gravy
and do a pop quiz?
You could listen. Yeah, you could listen to every opera in existence, one after the other, in about 4 or 5 hours.
What a painful 4 or 5 hours that would be.
That beats listening to one in 4 or 5 hours. But it's a bit scary, isn't it? Because, you know, opera's in all different fucking languages, and it's about, like, obscure things. So one
it's not about obscure things. Opera's about beer, or it's about fancying fat birds.
Yeah,
that's all
I don't know, mentioning fat, I don't think the poor women have glandular problems. Singing high apparently makes your boobs get teenies.
Well, they've got those big lungs, haven't they? Shall we?
Yeah, they go from a 34 D to a 34 yeah. long.
I can see how this is entirely relevant to Lime.
Right. X-Mame.
He says, I'm going to put my glasses on, by the way, because I can't read a bloody thing. Hang on.
Because you don't look enough like a specky twat. Oh, that's better, right?
That helps.
Bellend. X-Mame, all the reasons talked about week.
Oh, it's literally last week, and it was a fortnight ago anyway.
Can't live without MAME.
We release it a week ago.
Now, I don't think it's a situation that you can't live without MAME.
It is. No. You had to mainline MAME.
What's MAME again?
The arcade machine emulator.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course.
kind of thing that you can run four-player gauntlet cabinets on.
Absolutely.
A lot of interest in that.
which no progress since fortnight ago, I take it.
Well, you know, I've tried not feeding the guinea pig in the lab.
He shaved his hair, so he sold his hair to afford it. Have you sold it for like a few million or something?
What, my hair?
The legendary Sparks. You know, one lock of hair.
I shaved it straight into the bin. It's below the bin. Shaved it off.
He's driven three species to extinction.
Rifling through
the lesser black country hairlines.
Exactly, he's like cutting down the rainforest.
Okay, number
it
four.
Was the beard that scared me. I just looked in the mirror and scared the shit out of myself. One day I thought, that beard's gone again.
If it scared you, can you imagine what the poor children thought? right, next one is Eldraw. Lego Draw.
This is absolutely fucking brilliant. Rob was talking about this on his blog a couple of weeks
ago. No, he wasn't. He was talking about LeoCAD.
Was he?
Yeah. Which is...
Cat for
Lions. By the look of what Daniel T has said. Shut the fuck up.
Barbara.
He says, Lego Draw. Draw Lego blocks and render them. CAD package. Good fun. I once used this to model Tux in Lego and then printed it off as a manual. I'll try and dig out the files again and post them on lugradio.org.
Well, so it gives you instructions then to build the thing actually in Lego.
No, you model, but it's Lego pieces that you're sticking together on the screen.
Oh, 3D for the Fisher-Price generation.
I'll tell you you know when you're playing with Lego? No, and you can
never find
the right piece.
Fisher-Price for the Quake generation,
which is easier online.
But you've still got to build everything in different colours. Even if you could do it all in yellow blocks, you still got to do it all in different colours because it's the law. But, I mean, there's a thing called LeoCAD, which is the thing that Rob Annable was talking about. So there's obviously two things exactly the same.
Yeah, well, I downloaded LeoCAD on sticking on the Windows machine and Tom was playing with it and he thought it was ace.
Nice. That's what we like.
I might install it then.
But then you know, he went back to playing with the real Lego, so he's not as fucking sad as we are.
He hasn't got a computer monitor tan.
Right.
Pie game.
Oh, pie game's superb.
Yeah,
instead of taking games with me, I can just make them.
Yeah.
Flash Git.
No, not Flash. Pie game.
All right. Pie game Git. Pie game is a Python SDL wrapper. From what I've seen, I just need learning.
We just learning SDL.
I just learning. Hello. I'm making Trout Wars. Get off my land. And I love Python.
Get your tractors off our lawns. John Major said,
come over here. No, you'll kick your arse.
Right, I'm just learning SDL through Linux FOMART.
FOMART? Is that like...
making art from foam? That'd be a superb magazine. You like, do big shaving foam, and then you carve stuff in it, and then you freeze
make penguins out of foam.
That'd be wicked. We need to do that.
Trout Wars.
We need to do some Lug Radio
foam
art.
You can buy foam for modelling, can't you? The blue stuff that you carve out with things.
That's no fun. You've got to do it with shaving foam.
You just reminded me of Play-Doh just then. I don't know why.
Are you shaving oil? Because how the fuck is that going to work?
I use that gel stuff, King of Shaves, or whatever it's called.
I'm completely lost. King of Shaves, I've used that.
Actually, quite a lot of the time, I just use water, because,
Because your heart.
It works as well.
Uses soap.
You're a rock
art. Yeah. Uses a cheese grater instead. Yeah.
Cold water at that.
I use a lot of it. From the spring at the bottom of the
car. I just shave with the machete while I'm driving.
You know?
On your horse.
Machete, you just put my head posh bastard.
Yeah. I use the fan on the engine.
I use two stones and one of them isn't even sharp.
He uses the edge of a wall. Anyway.
We're so hard.
What the hell are we talking about?
We're the hard men of Linux Radio.
So Daniel loves the Python.
Yeah, he loves the Python.
He does love the Python, and good on him.
And he says putting them two of them together seemed the right thing to do. Well,
whatever you're into, mate.
I mean, a lot easier using Pygame than it is writing SDL stuff in
C.
In C, yeah.
Yep.
You don't have to do any of the configuration and everything. You just start it. New SDL instance, like, bing, there's a screen.
SDL's pretty cool game creation library, whatever you want
to look at. Didn't you
use... Is it like click and play on the Amiga?
No, not at all.
No.
It's more like STOS.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Amos.
I was an Amos
fan. It's quite like Amos, actually.
I wrote a game called Windy Miller's Big Day Out on that one.
Brilliant! Fantastic!
Windy Miller.
I bought that.
He's got the B-side to Advance Lawnmower Simulator.
that brings back some memories.
Glad that exists.
It was great.
It was real. Advanced Lawnmower Simulator.
Yeah, it was a cover.
Right up there with Gladiator Manager 3.
Fantastic.
Right, okay. Next one is ScumVM.
Again, absolutely cold.
He says from the site, ScumVM is a virtual machine for several classic graphical point and click adventure games. We all know what it is. Never used it, really. I'm not into point-and-click games.
I really like graphical adventures anyway. LucasArts-style ones, which is what it runs.
Yeah.
So that was dead cool. It runs on a Zaurus, which is also dead cool.
Wow.
And they convinced Revolution to give away Beneath the Steel Sky for free. They open-sourced Beneath the Steel Sky.
Really?
Yeah.
Which I didn't know they open-sourced it.
Yeah.
Does it do Leisure Suit Larry?
No, Leisure Suit, but...
That was a joke, I don't want the answer.
No, Leisure Suit Larry was SGI?
Yeah, it's another emulator to play those games. Yeah.
Really, that's amazing.
Yeah. All the old games like that were
all virtual machines.
Sierra, each one of the companies built a virtual machine back then, and then now they're emulating them again.
Oh, right. Cool, so...
Right, that was number six, wasn't it? Number seven, Clam AV.
Is that the virus thing?
When the Linux viruses start coming, I will be ready.
Has he got a great big elephant guard around the house? Because, when the rogue mammoths hit the streets of wherever he lives, he'll be there ahead of the rest of us, and then he'll be laughing.
Can you get elephant guards, can you?
He's got a musket in his hallway. When those pikemen come, bastards.
He's prepared. Lives in a lead house.
Well ahead of the game. And of course, he's got his tinfoil hat for when the fucking CIA put their orbiting mind control.
That exists. I'm telling you. Tinfoil over your TV. You need the hat, but the hat's got to be a basketball cap style with two antennas. So you fool them into thinking you're the TV off Will-O-The-Wisp.
Oh,
like Evil Edna.
not at all interested in spoiler there, are they?
Presumably, if you take the hat off, you're falling into thinking you'll maybe screw it off of Willow the Wisp.
Yeah. What I do is I get my tits out. And I think it's that fat fairy.
As in bird tits or like actual man mammaries?
Man mammaries. I haven't got man mammaries.
Yeah, you do. You get your milk flaps out.
That's solid. That is
No, I'd rather not.
While I think about it.
I'm a man.
Clamav, does anyone care?
Yeah, come on. You're saying about Clamav.
What is it? Someone who knows about it, talk about
Let
it.
Let me read it. what did you say?
Nothing.
Oh, Jesus. hang on. Sorry, Sparks has just unleashed something in the room.
Look, we're not the Linux Link Tech Show. We don't need to talk about bodily emissions all the time.
but it was quite dry. If it had been wet, I'd have been bored with it.
Clamav!
Can we just stop recording for a minute so we can recover? John's eyes are watering. Jono's eyes are me.
Are they?
Jono.
Okay. Right, okay. Clamav. when the Linux viruses start coming, he'll be ready. Also searches for Windows viruses from what I've seen of them, which is a good plus when running a Samba server, which stores a lot of files from Windows users.
Question here, right? Sophos or McAfee or whatever, the Windows things that search for viruses. You got to pay money for them, but the thing the money buys you is not actually the virus searching thing itself. It's the fact you get to get updates all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have to pay for ClamAV updates, or are they free?
I know nothing about
it. And if they're free, why the hell isn't everyone using that instead of Sophos?
Let's wait and see if the Linux viruses start coming.
But apparently it detects Windows ones. Does it not do it as well? Does it not detect as many as McAfee? Or is it just as good as McAfee?
Asking people that don't know.
How many viruses are really viruses these days? Most of them are worms and things anyway, so it's not going to be able to detect them. Because they're not going to be attacking it. It might be able to scan for viruses hiding in host files, but if they're not there...
Yeah, well, they're not there. Cool. Don't know enough about it. I stopped giving a shit about viruses 4 years ago when I moved to Linux, or however long ago it was.
We know nothing about viruses, we don't care.
I would have permanently moved over about that long ago, so I've stopped caring.
Last one.
PHPBB plug.
Yeah.
He's a member of the PHPBB team.
He is a member of the PHPBB team, and he loves it, obviously.
Is that bollocks?
My phone's ringing.
Can you hear
me?
Is that what we use
for the forums? It's quite cool. Yeah. It's the best thing out there.
I think it's brilliant, PHPBB.
I like it as well, yeah.
I think it's...
a very confusing name.
Why? Why is that confusing?
Say it five times.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone's going PBB.
While walking counterclockwise.
So let's see what he has to say about it. I mean,
as a PHPB... team member, I have to say...
See, you got it wrong, you see? Confusing name.
All right, shut up. I have to say PHBB. PHPBB is high-powered, fully scalable, and highly customizable open-source bulletin board package. PHBB has a user-friendly interface, blah, 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 blah.
Don't read his old marketing quote.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's great.
Basically, I would use that to help him set up hackersstuckonadesertisland.com, a site where he can talk to people about his experience on the island.
Like a big brother sort
of loud.
I nominate
him. Presumably talking to other people on the island about his experience.
On other islands, truly.
This concept is flawed, because if you were stuck on the island, you'd just email someone to get a boat over, wouldn't you? I mean...
No, come on.
Whose stupid idea was this?
If you were stuck on an island, you'd have a couple of fucking weeks on it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it depends whether you're stuck on an island like Greenland.
Put a firewall on his and some filtering
on the island.
Should we just block web access?
No.
And email access.
No, because then everyone couldn't have Firefox as one of their 8 choices.
This is an incredibly sad discussion.
It might be a desert island of the mind.
Right? If I... Shut up!
Of the mind.
Matt Paul Sartre. But if I was...
That's a sex manual.
Thursday, nothing existed.
That's a lot of words for Jade to come out with, isn't it?
If I received...
Jade, I'm not minging.
If I received an email from any one of you three tomorrow saying, help, I'm stuck on a desert island, please inform the authorities, it would be deleted. I certainly wouldn't be rushing off to the fucking police or the Coast Guard saying, he's stuck on a desert island.
I'm quite clear that
emailing people would not help you in the slightest.
In any case, you could download any software that you want anyway.
I'll just block that IP. It's a fucking desert island. It's not going to have a whole fucking address range. It's sharing IPs with dozens of other desert islands.
Not bad.
Right, well, so he's got a 404 that he's given us.
Oh, is he cool? What's he dumping?
PHP nuke, which I agree with.
I like the first word, ugh.
Which sums up my feelings.
Now, is he dumping PHP nuke because it's actually bollocks, or because it's a competitor to PHPBB, or both?
Oh, because he ate it.
Because it's written by... Beep. Who does self-censoring myself there. It's
wank, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's not good.
No, hackers, that's not good.
That's not
it's
good.
The worst thing that's happened to websites in a long time in terms of
he says
making them into all do the same thing, which isn't anything very good.
Yeah.
He says a load of stuff about PHP Nuke, why he doesn't like it, which we haven't got time or interest to read.
he's given us a book, Linux in a Nutshell. Can't live without it.
If you're new to Linux and you don't have it, get it. It is good, but I never read it. Manpages are for.
Once you're not new to Linux, is it useful?
Manpages sounds so much like a porn mag for games. what's his luxury?
Luxury, a very large hard disk full of my entire full collection of Dilbert, Blackadder, Red Dwarf, Friends, Frasier and Monty Python videos. I wouldn't have said that, mate. Well, the authorities are going to be banging on your door tomorrow. Well done. Blackadder's brilliant. Red Dwarf's brilliant. I've never been into Dilby.
No.
I don't know. I mean,
it's better read than it was the cartoon.
Sometimes it's pretty crap. Sometimes it's right. Every now and again it has flashes of brilliance. Yeah. We think that's just like where I work.
Fair enough.
Uncannily so.
Well, cheers, Daniel.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for that.
Yeah. And to everyone else who emailed us this week with Desert Island Discs, I'm afraid we couldn't do all of them.
Yeah.
So we chose Daniel's. We'll try and squeeze yours in next time.
Okay, we're going to talk about something now which is prevalent in the Linux community. There are a lot of them. I'm sure everyone's come across one or more of them. And they are arseholes.
I've come across plenty of them.
I thought you might have.
Ever seen as many arseholes as I'd like. What are we talking about again?
There are an awful lot of people. I'm not going to say an awful lot of people. There are some people in the Linux community who seem to take
a contingent
pleasure in making life miserable for everybody else.
Yes.
You can't call them a contingent. They're a faction.
All right.
Because these kind of people join together and call themselves a faction. So that is one reason why they should be called a faction. The faction of arse.
Yeah. I mean,
faction of arse.
The faction of arse. I mean, one of the things that...
F-O-A, just say no.
What faction hole?
That sounds like the fourth film in the Lord of the Rings series. The faction of arse. Sorry, carry on.
Forgot what I was going to say now. All right, yeah. I've still forgotten. One of the things that I think has changed about the Linux development community, if you like, over the last few years, is that we've got enough people on board that you don't have to keep people who are arseholes just because they're really good hackers.
All right, can I ask two things?
Yes. What would you do if I said no?
I'd ask him anyway.
I thought you might do. Right. Don't ask.
The first question is, and please, guys, don't... steer this way because I'd really like to ask the second one.
Okay.
First question is, what do you mean by an arsehole in this case?
My definition of it here would be people where you think that they're dragging down the community or the project that they're in by rubbishing other people's contributions or getting in the way of progress.
Yeah.
Or just being mean to newbies or to people who come up with ideas or
being difficult
or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, basically, I hesitate to sound too much like a corporate prick, but not being a team player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bingo.
Yeah, I know. Fuck off. I said I didn't want to sound like a corporate prick. I know I was going to, but there you
go. What's the second question, Matt?
How do you then judge when someone's being sufficient of an arsehole to get rid of them?
Don't know.
When how do you go about getting rid of them?
When you get the whole head inside, the arsehole's too big.
Moving swiftly on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of highlighting this as a problem. I have no solution.
I think the thing is that there's... Obviously, we don't want to mention any names because we're not here to defame people.
No, of course not.
Right? But
accepts each other.
The thing is there's certain people in the Linux community that people know who are arseholes.
Yeah.
And people just get on with them because there's either two things, right? A guy, you know, the person who's been the arsehole, you know, the person who's been afflicted by that arsehole doesn't want to cause any trouble, doesn't want to cause a ruckus, doesn't want any conflict, right? Yeah. That's one thing. And then the other type of thing is when someone says, well, they're, you know, we can't afford to be without them. They're too important for our community. I was going to say that, like, I think the problem is that the problem with arseholes is that they're not people don't come into contact and say, look, you're being an arsehole about this, or you know what's your fucking problem. If this happened earlier on, then they wouldn't become arseholes. I think it's people who then get to a point where they feel like they know so much about what they're talking about that they think that they look down on everybody else. So when everybody else criticizes them, they don't think anything of it. And that's the problem.
When would you say that someone's arseholishness...
Arsolicity.
When does their arsolicity outweigh their value to the community, do you think?
I don't think it does.
Don't know. I mean, the problem with this sort of discussion is there's no way you can put a hard and fast rule on it.
Yeah.
Because at some point you'll end up eliminating a guy who's a bit difficult to deal with, but is really valuable, and that's more important. Or you'll end up blowing out some guy just because he had a bad day. You know, I mean, he was driving to work and he crashed into a tree and then his dog died. And he took it out on a new guy and he go, you can no longer be part of our community because you're an arsehole and you have to wear the arsehole badge.
Surely, though, there'd have to be more of a robust procedure than that.
Facial tattooing's out, then, I take it.
I don't think you could do it.
Brandon.
The problem is, I don't think you could do it with a procedure.
Well, you couldn't just kick someone out for having a bad day, though, could you?
No, exactly. No, no, you
I mean,
couldn't.
There's got to be some... I think each community would have to have their own...
It happened in the sidelines.
...de-arsenalification process.
I think it happened in the sidelines, because if somebody... I've met some arseholes since I've been into Linux, right? And if one of these particular... there was one particular arsehole who I knew of, and he worked for a particular software project, okay? Mm. And he pissed off a lot of people in that software project, mm-hmm. right? And it's not a project that I've worked on. It's something I read about. So it's not KDE or anything before I jump to conclusions, okay? It's something I read about on the internet, right? Yeah. And I knew this guy, kind of, and he was an arsehole, eh?
Kafka.
No. So this guy has been a tit, right? But the thing is if people have said to him, look, piss off, then, yeah, you'd have lost his contributions. But the thing is that by harbouring the arsehole, what happened is that people just kept getting knocked off whenever they had to do anything with the project.
Harbouring the arsehole. That's such a great phrase. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's not like you have some kind of pseudo-legal jurisprudence procedure where you say, you have crossed the line one too many times, now you are banished, be gone from our community.
Yeah.
It's more kind of a social pressure thing. Like Jono says, I mean, someone bees an arsehole, you call them on it.
If that would work, then that would be cool.
Bedfordshire boy.
Would that work?
I think it would work if everybody did it, but I think the problem with saying that is that you basically run up a red flag for everyone to just have flame wars all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can do about it. It's just an issue, and I think it's causing a problem. There are prima donnas who are holding up the progress of projects,
then
and
you
it
need
would be really great if they weren't.
An interpersonal kind of contract, almost, that where you say, look, these are the things that are unacceptable in this community. We expect you to behave according to these principles. You know, just don't be a tosser, basically. And then people should get 3 warnings or something like that, you know. I mean, and it should be up to, you know, you need community leaders who are going to be brave
with projects. This is the good thing and the bad thing about free software and the free software model is that if there was rules and regulations such as this, A, they wouldn't be enforced, and people who were affected by rules not being enforced would get pissed off with it. So if one person becomes an arsehole and they get booted off on the first strike, and then somebody else is continually being an arsehole, but because he knew the person that makes the rules, he doesn't get the rules enforced against them. So that's going to cause problems. The other thing is that people do this for fun. People do this, you know, because they enjoy being a part of it.
So they shouldn't be affected by arseholes.
Exactly, but the thing is, I learned...
But you are. That's the problem.
The thing is that every community has got their fair share of arseholes. Every single mailing list, every single project, every single office has got an arsehole in it.
Even the Lug Radio mailing list has got an arsehole on it. One of the four of us. Anyone want to raise a hand?
what mailing list?
you're not on it.
So it's one of you. Me? That's because you're dead in the
corner. Wanger. Right, sorry, go on, Jono.
Yeah, so I mean, I suppose the thing is you've got to just put up with it, haven't you? And that's the difficult thing.
I don't know. I mean...
There's no formal way you can get rid of them. That's the most frustrating thing about it.
Linux is the free and open source software community communities are becoming far more mainstream, whether people like it or not now. And if
you look jaded, Matt.
No, I don't. if people want all the benefits to come from that, then surely we've got to take some responsibility for our own community and do some social work. You know, try and get people to behave in a better way, in a more acceptable way, because we want to encourage people. We want to encourage young kids of 14, like that lad we met at the info point a few weeks ago, a lad of about 14 who was clearly a geek, but just didn't know about Linux yet.
Clearly?
He was. And we told him about Linux, but wouldn't it be terrible if he went on a mailing list and, you know, lurked for a little bit and then asked a question and someone went, don't be so stupid, and he got put off and he went another route.
An example of that, a few years ago we were working on a project and a guy came, started helping out, and he told a few of the people who were considered leaders on the project that he was only 14.
Right.
And this guy now, he's doing lots and lots of good stuff in the community.
Yep. Yeah.
He's about 21 now, probably.
Right.
But this guy's been around since he was a kid, and he started off doing well. Yeah. So
he persevered,
He didn't get arsehole straight away. The problem with arseholes is they're generally either leading the project or one of the guys who do the most CVS commits and stuff. So they're looked upon as being indispensable. Some That's of the lower the down arseholes end up forking the project, going doing something different, and have two good projects, and they're not an arsehole on a new project that just didn't work well with the other people. Yeah, but some arseholes aren't real arseholes.
That would be fine if they got kicked. Which is why you need a... Which is why we need a mixture of, you know, social pressure on one another. And then eventually, like a last resort. I know you're saying it's difficult within the model that we have for software projects and stuff like that. But there must be some way that we can, get, the lesser of two evils, basically.
I think the thing to bear in mind is that people have tried to come in and formalise open source development before. People have tried to come in and develop rules and ways of doing things. And this is part of the reason why we have so many dead source forge projects is that people come in, they come up with all these brilliant ideas, and they say, right, we're going to work in this way, we're going to work in that way, and we're going to, and a lot of it is it's good intention, but it's just inexperience.
But they spend too much time building the structure.
Yeah.
You know, say, right, okay, we've got a good idea for a project. You know, it's going to take us about 15 lines of Python to do this, right, or Perl or whatever. But we've got to have we've got to have a mailing list, and we've got to have a CVS server, and we've got to have a mailing list that tells everyone about CVS.
We're
going to
spend more time doing the website than the actual project.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, exactly, and that kind of thing.
Unless
ruins
the project.
Is
a web
extent.
Application, in which case we will have coming soon.
One other thing I wanted to bring up on this, I don't know whether anybody saw this, but Nate Talkington, who's one of the really big wheels in the Perl community, came out a couple of days ago and
really?
Said, no, I fucking knew as soon as I opened my mouth that I was going to be
really?
On this stage.
Oh, right. Apparently he throws his rat on every couple of years on this exact subject, doesn't he?
But yeah, I mean, he he's been around in the Perl community for years and years and years, and what he said was that he finds that a lot of the older people, the old hands in the Perl community, are standing in the way of progress.
Well, it's a wall, isn't it? They've got a wall.
Including himself. And he thinks he wants to take a step back and get out of people's way. But that's not the sort of thing I'm talking about. That's not being an arsehole. I mean, yeah, there's sort of being the old guard or being cantankerous or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're not being a malicious prick half the time just because you can be.
I think the thing is that it's one of those things, that this issue of arseholes, I think the problem is that people... people don't take responsibility for their actions in some cases. They reckon they can talk to people in any way that they want, and so long as they're technically right, it doesn't matter. And that's bollocks, because you can be the most... This whole argument, this whole view of, he's an arsehole, but we allow it because he's important for the project. That's bollocks.
Yeah.
Because if he's an arsehole, he's an arsehole. It doesn't matter what you know, you're an arsehole.
But from what you say earlier, there's nothing we can do about it anyway.
Admittedly, but the thing about the open source model is that it's not perfect. It's got its issues in the same way that the commercial development model isn't perfect.
Yeah.
And this is one of the problems.
You've got more redress in the open source than you have in commercial world. In the commercial world, if somebody's been an arsehole, you've got to give them warnings and sack them and take them to a tribunal and everything. If in the open source world, you can just ignore the fucker.
And usually
the project if you want to. And things happen, move.
Can you just ignore them, though? I mean, is that...
Yeah, kill foil.
Right, yeah, fine.
Take the CVS access away. Just ignore their mailings.
The thing is...
Fine, then we can do something then. Great.
The only way you can do them is isolate. You could become the next arsehole.
Actually stop someone participating in an open process. But most people, even if they ignored all the people saying to them, look, you're being a dick, please stop being a dick. If you block their email address from the mailing list and cut off their CVS access, people would get the message, surely. You'd have to just deliberately be a total arsehole to say, I'm going to get around that procedure and carry on posting anyway. Yeah. At which point you're being truly the arsehole that you've been accused of.
Yeah.
Condemned out of your own mouth. So you should at least feel guilty.
You are listening to the Ground Hero.
Last week, Ack came up with the idea that we should all think of a way that we would spend £100,000.
Big ones.
100 big ones. Axe, 100 big ones, yeah.
Quarter of a million king-size Mars bars. I reckon you get a special off one.
So, how we would use it to help free and open source software. We put it out to you guys, and you came to the forums and told us what you thought.
Build it and they will come, you said, and I didn't believe you, but it happened. Yep,
it did.
Well, the first one was from Head DeBall, and he said, I'd put 100 grand towards getting a Lug Radio full studio in Wolverhampton. Honest.
That'd be quite some studio.
Cool.
That'd be impressive.
I assume you get an alarmingly cool studio for 100 grand. I have no idea how much one of these
No,
cost.
You get me an 85 grand house. with about 10 grand's worth of equipment in here.
What do you want an 85 grand house for? That's fuck all.
Not bad, do you, Tay?
Right. This town's such a shithole. 85 grand won't buy you anything, right?
Yeah, a really nice shed.
Some parts of Wolverhampton have got a fucking street for that.
Next one.
Next one was from Matt.
I just said that was a good idea.
Ah, what a fantastic idea.
Matt, you're so wise.
We could raise further funds by hiring it out. You know you're full of good ideas, Matt. Love Child. Incidentally, whenever I see Love Child, I always think of Mud Child. Yeah. Bertha Mud Child.
The lovely Bertha.
Bertha Mud Child from Anus, Denmark.
It's
Aarhus. From Aarhus, Denmark. You live in the arse. Right.
So, if Love Child could actually tell us how to pronounce that, that'd be quite interesting.
It's Aarhus.
Aarhus.
Aarhus Street!
We bought a whole fucking street, 100 grand.
Aarhus.
So, he'd fund.
Right. What would he do?
All right, okay.
What do you do?
Okay, a few options. Fund Gnome Office Presenter Development.
Why?
I don't see any point in that.
Why?
We got, Open Office Presenter.
Yeah.
And K-Presenter.
And Magic Point.
K-Presenter is not part of Gnome Office. Fine, fair play. I don't understand what the point of the Gnome Office is. We asked Hubert Figuerere about this about the Linux Fusion Developer Expo. he's the Abbey Word guy. And Jono, I think, said, what's the point in Gnome Office? Gnome Office being Abbey Word and some other things that nobody uses. And he said, no, it's important that Gnome has an office suite. And you think, well, why?
I don't understand why he said a bit more than that, didn't he?
I don't
understand the point in having an office suite other than Open Office.
What he basically said, admittedly, he didn't exactly say this, but this is what he meant to say, was that...
we interpret your words.
Gnome Office is basically, like, what, four or five random applications that could be considered an office suite, but they're not actually. So there's no link to them whatsoever, is there? I mean, you can't take something from numeric and put it into Abbey Word, as far as I'm aware, where you can do the same sort of thing in Open Office and K Office, because that's the point of an office suite, integration.
Yeah.
But yeah, is there actually a GNOME presentation package?
I don't think so.
Why would you need one?
I can't think why you wouldn't use Open Office Presenter.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Wait.
It seems fine to me. I mean, obviously you wouldn't use Magic Point.
No.
I mean, Magic Point is really, really good if you're a hacker type, because it's bloody easy to create presentations in.
In the same way that LaTeX is really good.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're into that kind of thing.
You can produce much sharper, cleaner things, and you can do it a lot quicker if you know what you're doing.
Number two is a good idea. Fund Debian Development. I think that's a good idea. But I'm wondering how you'd fund it, though.
Let's see what he says. Give him a chance.
Debian is possibly the only true free... Debian is possibly the only tree... tree OS. Debian, I'm putting my glasses back on.
You really Love Child is from Denmark, but you're reading it with Eddie Ball's accent. About five people down, you're going to be reading Danish?
I've got my specs on now. Debian is possibly the only truly free OS, but maybe if we hit them over the head with 100 big ones.
My 100 big ones, I want to point out.
I'd love to see... I never want to see that. I'd probably want to see you hitting Phil Hans over the head with 100 big ones, whatever they are.
Phil's
the only person I know with hands big enough to help.
That's probably one big one per core developer. That'd be excellent.
So, if we hit them over the head with 100 big ones, it would release more often and have some cash to give developers new hardware and such.
They wouldn't release more often.
They do release often enough already. Apps get upgraded.
Exactly.
What I don't see about that, I mean, the way you fund Debian is by giving money to SPI, Software in the Public Interest, who are the non-profit body who handle Debian's money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they do with money when they get it. I mean, you could probably find out if you go to spi-inc.org. It'll tell you how much money SPI have got and so on.
Alternatively.
But I don't know what they do. I can't imagine that giving developers new hardware would help that much unless they're writing hardware drivers.
Alternatively, what about giving some money to either Bruce Perrins' user you know, user Linux, whatever it is, which will be Debian based, or giving some money to Ian Thingamy's new friendly Debian.
Friendly Debian.
Ian, you know, Thingy? Ian Murdoch?
Thingy, as in, yeah, Ian Murdoch. He's, isn't he creating a friendly Debian?
Innovative Debian.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a new progeny, is it? I mean, that's what...
Progeny, that's the word.
Well, that's what progeny was supposed to be originally, and then it went away.
It was a commercial product, and then no one actually bought it, so... Yeah. Because everyone just used Debian.
This is another night for another day.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, let's move on to another person, because we haven't got time to go through everyone, everything. Okay.
No, he's got some decent
things. He's got some decent things.
He has got some decent things, but we've also got another seven things to discuss as well.
Run through them very quickly.
All right, very quickly, with no discussion.
Okay.
Okay.
Stop flicking the screen about.
Shall I just do that?
Moment of epileptic fit now. Blame
you. Because he's scrolling too much.
Turn your GameCube on quick. Let's blame Nintendo and BBC C2.
Okay, he says Ziff development funding for Og, Theora, Vorbis, Speaks, etc.
At some point, I want to talk about streaming video and how apparently you can't do it on Linux at all.
Right.
But
yep.
That's for another whole segment in a different episode.
Another one is
in the future.
Lobbying efforts.
Probably the most sensible thing he said so far.
Is that lobbying or lobbying?
Who would you lobby? Who would you... Would you take the 100 grand and lobby yourself? Not, no, would you do the lobbying and use the 100 grand to fund it? Or would you give it to someone else to lobby for
I'd
you?
Take,
and if so, who would you give it to?
I'd take lobbying...
Just give it to somebody in government and they'll give you a whole day so you can have an open, standards open...
Well, yeah, but you get a whole day and then the government will go, whatever, and ignore you. And then you've blown out your 100 grand.
But then you've got a day, you get the BBC involved then.
Oh, dear. Somebody's phone's on. I never have my phone on.
So we weren't going to discuss these.
Right.
Then we've got Fund Keith's X server, which I don't see why you'd need to spend 100 grand on Keith Backard's X server.
You could pay Keith Backard for 2 years all by himself to work on it for that.
Well, he's working on it plenty enough, isn't he, already?
He's already doing it without money, isn't he? Do we need any more?
Yeah.
It's a bit harsh on
There's no point spending money. I don't think there's any point spending money on people who are just going to write the code anyway.
Yeah.
You might as well spend it on things that people... that you actually physically need money for.
Yeah. I can see how you might want to recompense people who are... doing it in their spare time. But Keith Packard's being paid to work on the X server anyway.
He works at HP, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Is that why he's called Packard?
Oh, my God. Do you reckon he's the Packard and the legendary Hewlett-Packard partnership?
It might be.
I'm guessing no.
I do believe the Packard and the legendary Hewlett-Packard partnership has been dead for about 10 years.
No, they're still alive. Hewlett and Packard are still alive, aren't they?
Really?
Or these two...
The shittest comedy duo.
That's exactly what I was about to say, but now they're not running the company, they're just doing a shitty comedy duo acting in Brighton Pay. My name's Hewlett, my name's Packard.
What's wrong, Hewlett? Oh, my printer's run out of ink.
International Business Machines.
No, but Commodore Business Machines died away.
Only Mr. Business is alive.
Must be getting on there, then.
Sorry, next.
Okay, Sco Stock. safest investment ever, apparently.
Yeah, whatever, next.
Right, okay, that's enough of that. Thank you, Bertha Mudchild, love child. Next one is Daniel T. He's getting some air time, isn't he, today?
Hello again, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Doing some.
I have been thinking about this for a while, not this exact amount, just about blah, blah, blah. Buy new mics to Lug Radio. Yes, we need them. They cost 100 grand.
25 grand a piece. Special mic with a fucking diamond in it.
No,
actually, can I have a mic
that
just produces
the change.
Calm down. Mics don't cost 25 grand. 20 grand. We have a spare one for guests.
We'll go cheap. Give some money to the Linux Show / Geekcast.
Mm. Right, you traitor.
Yeah, traitor.
Bloody Judas.
Radio. It's that bit of the show that I tend to do every week. It seems to be my bit, the end.
It's tradition, Spark.
This is the end.
Spark's is in.
My only friend, Lug Radio.
My bell end. Anyway.
That was unnecessary.
It was.
Sorry. We have been warned.
Yes,
on
potty mouth.
I've been potty mouthed. I just like we were
chastised, no less.
We're recording the outro, and we're going to warn people we may have potty mouths.
Yeah,
could be too late.
They may be swearing earlier in this show. If you didn't like it, fucking unlucky. Really,
the previous era may have contained swear words. Sorry,
we're sorry.
Oh,
there's
some blaspheming in there, I think, as well at some point.
Should we blaspheme against some other religions as well?
No, I don't think we should.
Can you really blaspheme against someone? This is something that's always struck me. Can you blaspheme against somebody else's religion?
Didn't we have 5 minutes for the outro?
We do, yeah.
I don't know if that's as crazy an idea, but you know.
Since when have we ever stuck to any kind of plan with Lug Radio?
if everyone was in court and I had to read the thingy.
God forbid, Sparks.
I'd read the faithless one. The faithless one, because, you know.
I would as well.
I can't, you know. I swear by Almighty, I don't believe in God. I think it's offensive to people who do believe in God. I'm swearing on a God I don't believe in.
But on the other hand...
I think
the
Bible says you shouldn't swear on God anyway.
The two things seem enormously unbalanced to me. Because if, you know, you're a God-fearing Christian citizen, you go and say, I swear by Almighty God to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God and all that.
Yeah.
And if not, you go and say,
we've watched the bill
as
well.
Under the pain of perjury.
Ooh.
Now, how fucking terrible.
I affirm everything I'm going to say. It's actually the truth, the whole truth, and truth in the promise.
I swear under the pain of Jeffrey Archer.
So help me, David Beckel.
I believe in rock and roll. Anyway, yeah.
I think that would go down badly in court.
Yeah. I believe in rock and roll that I'm going to tell the truth. And the rock and roll truth.
One of the Star Trek one where they swear on Gene Roddenberry.
They get you to do this when you go into court. Say, promise that you're not going to lie. You're in fucking court, for God's sake. There's a good chance that you're lying already. You know, better than average, perhaps, that you would be looking
back. I ought to point out, be a witness as opposed to the accused. I mean, perhaps you're just viewing this from your own personal perspective here.
I think we should all be pleased.
This is coming from a man that looks like the accused in the suit again today.
that's a bit harsh. The court system is very good. You know, if we didn't have them, we wouldn't have Top Man. That's what they're there for. So, anyway...
Do we bother explaining that for
everyone at work? You said that.
You know, the weird thing is, right, you've got to do this at some point. Actually go into a court. It's chav scum come alive. The only people in there not wearing Burberry have got wigs or uniforms on or carrying big stuffed up folders full of comp notes and stuff. It's chavscum.co.uk. Check it out.
Chav scum, yeah. Well,
so did we do a radio program about Linux today?
I think we did.
Something like that. Yeah.
Did we mention Linux?
What were we actually going to talk about?
But anyway, basically, if we're sorry that you're offended or that you don't feel you can... some people can't listen to the show because we swear in it. But I'm afraid we've gone into this before and this is just what we're doing. Our correspondent, Jeff, did actually suggest to us that we should link up with the Linux show. I'm afraid that's not going to happen. The Linux show have their own things that they're doing. We have our own things that we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And, why doesn't Red Hat link up with Susie? You know, there's room for all of us, basically.
I'd love to link
up
with Slug Radio and the Linux Link Tech Show. They're much more fun.
Perhaps we could kind of create some kind of open radio network.
Open radio network? Didn't we just mention that?
But there's not enough room in the Lug Radio bed for all of them to get in as well. You know, we're going to have an extension on the Lug Radio house.
Oh, fantastic. That'd be good, because it means you're far away from Axe Feet.
Yeah, that's the problem with the Lug Radio bed. Your feet stink, Eck.
I'll tell you what,
that's the problem.
When you're choosing where you top or tail with that each night, it's a scary thought. You've got to wake up looking at that face or sleep with those feet.
I'll tell you what, though.
up looking at that face. That's
I'll tell you what.
It's easy sleeping next to Matt because he's below the covers at both ends, isn't he?
I'm just saying.
The Oompa Loompa can't reach the top of the bed.
I'm glad we've got a silent night mattress so I feel like the little duck and you're the hippies.
Oh, that's a bit... That was a bit harsh, wasn't it, Duckman?
I've lost a bit half pound of hair.
I wasn't talking about you personally, I was saying, you know, generally.
From his belly to his arse.
So, guys, we have done Lug Radio 11. Thanks for listening, everyone. You know, do get in touch, forums.lugradio.org.
And
well, do you want to say it? It's a special honour.
I'm going to balls this up, I'm so scared. Matt's giving me all his responsibility. Okay, it's... show@lugradio.org.
Is that really how to talk shit?
No, that's just one of your funny voices.
Oh, right.
That's the one
impression
that occasionally falls into Frank's head.
Lugradio.org, man.
Hello, I'm Matt.
Spooky.
Hello, Matt. I don't know if I like Linux anymore. Oh. I'm scared.
I'm scared of it. I'm very jaded.
I'm going to stuff this up your ass.
Just before we finish, can I make an appeal to our good listeners?
Yeah.
You're not appealing to our listeners, are you?
Not even remotely appealing to our listeners.
Thank you very much, yeah. You're all bastards.
Notice how I talked about sleeping by Ack and Matt and pointed out their shortcomings. In one case, very shortcoming. I never mentioned sleeping next to Jono. That is a delight.
Thank you.
It's not.
No, it is.
No?
You didn't say that the other night.
I thought it was brilliant, apart from the fact that, you know, I woke up the next morning, I had a big headache. I said, Jono, what's the problem? And he said, it's chloroform. Makes your bum sore, doesn't it?
Right, okay. Can we stay away from this? Anyway, appeal to the listeners.
Try hard to appeal to our listeners.
Yeah.
Stop being putty mouthed.
Yeah, whenever we release a show of Look Radio, we try to span the world with
Look
it.
Radio.
So what we try to do is we try to tell the world about the episode that's come out and everything. And this has kind of started to decrease as the time's gone on, and we've not been telling people as much about it. When this episode hits the forums and when you hear about it, go and tell all the news sites about it. Go and tell all your friends about it. We need to bring more people to listen to the show.
Yeah, the more people can get involved in it. And what we're going to start doing soon is also kind of getting people on the phone. I know we're talking about this a lot, but we really want to get you involved on the phone. We're going to try and make a trip out to another lug. It might just be the South Birmingham one. But we'll try and record some stuff there.
Can we go to like Waikiki lug or something?
Well, we do owe Schwuck a visit up in Cumbria.
We do. It was good meeting Schwuck.
Yeah, good. And his little Scottish mate. Sorry, I can't remember your name.
Neither can we.
What was his name? So it was
moment of
hello!
Silence.
So,
hello!
This is the first.
Have you seen Mimi at Schwuck?
Jesus, is my phone the only one that's not gone off tonight?
That'll be a first. No, your phone rang earlier, your home phone.
Oh, yeah.
And the answering machine kicked in.
Who was it?
My wife.
All right. let's wrap this show up.
Pimp Plug Radio, mail your papers or whatever you want to call them to show at lugradio.org. Tell us what you think. Tell
get
us what
involved.
You axe big ones. Get on the forums.
We need you lot to be a part of this show because we want to talk to you about it and we want you to be involved. We want to talk about what you think about the show on the show and Linux in general. That's what we're here for. So.
And Foss.
I hate
everybody.
Everybody hates that.
I use it on
Linux. No, you don't. You use it because you love it.